South Africa is going to the polls next week amid much pre-election drama. We get the latest from Neil de Beer, the president of a United Independent Movement, a party in the multi-party charter. Welcome, Neil.
Well, very good morning, Chris. Beaufort West, this is where you're getting me on my national tour. So pardon if there's noise, but we're sitting outside a restaurant, but I wouldn't miss this interview, as always, with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Neil. May we start with a drama in your own party with the youth leader, Devin Hofmeyr, attending a gala fundraiser for former President Jacob Zuma's MK party.
Yeah, Chris, you always say to yourself you're going to be isolated from scandal. You're going to lock yourself up. You're not going to allow anything to happen. You're going to keep all your sheep into one burrow, and then one goes off into the wolves. Then there's nothing a person can do except be honest and truthful. It was a huge mistake. It was an absolute wrong call. We are dealing with it. But it's only obvious that we do not support MK. We are not with Relieve and Back whatsoever. It was a call made by Devin in his personal capacity. Unfortunately, Devin will have to deal with the brunt of that. There is now an investigation, whatever will follow. But these are the things that happen in politics. I always say, in your own family, in your own person, there's always one. And you have to deal with it. He is an adult. Naively, or whatever the decision was, the UIM does not support it. I mean, that's only obvious. And we will deal with that matter harshly and to the point. The UIM is clear. We will not form any alliances with the ANC, the EFF, and now MK or any cabal. We are not interested. If we were, we wouldn't have fought 3 years to be independently of mind like we are. So we'll deal with that matter. But I think everybody has the right to make a mistake. I'm always in the truth, so it's no problem for me. We will deal with it, and we will deal with it harshly and move on. And that's life.
Neil, meanwhile, you are still in the multi-party charter. How is that charter holding up?
Now, Chris, to say it's all been brilliant is not true. Again, a person must be truthful, and I find that it's refreshing that we can speak the truth in politics, and doesn't suit everybody. But it's been, in my opinion, a rocky affair. It was a absolutely great ride since the beginning. We had over a year of constant and continued meetings we discussed. But I'll tell you straight, and not wanting to throw the dishes out, I am not happy at the moment. I am, in an actual fact, saddened of where we are. But I think if this was not predicted, we were also foolish. You are talking about 11 parties with 11 leaders at this current moment sitting and probably not facing a normal election. This is the biggest election since 1994. I think we don't know how to deal with it. We are all trying to make sure that we get the most votes in our election stride. I think we've not dealt with that yet. So to have a charter that says that we won't go for each other and that we won't be overzealous and that we won't knock each other unfairly, that was a guideline to say, how do we keep the truce between 11 parties? But we've never been through an election where we had to now go fight for our own piece of meat. So it's getting rough. I can tell you that. I will tell you that as a newcomer, you know me, I'm enthusiastic. I don't believe in die. I always try and get the team together. And in many cases, in the past couple of weeks, I failed to do so. So it's getting to the edge. But it's together. We have an agreement. We don't all agree currently where we're standing in each other's commitment on certain matters. But it's fine. It's good. You will have rumbles in teams. And we face this almighty 29th as a team and as a multi-party charter still together. No one's left. We are still committed to the grouping of what we signed. and we take it further. But it's very interesting times.
Where do you see the fate of small parties versus the big parties, Neil, going forward, especially after the election?
Yeah, Chris, it's a continual debate. You know, I come from a rugby era where people said, but small people shouldn't play rugby. You know, at SA Rugby, they used to say it's a big man's game. And then Brayton Folsom came and became one of the most prolific try scorers in the history of SA Rugby. And how small was he? You know, so Chesn Colby, you know, when you look at all these kind of people on a sport format, you know, Dynamite comes in small packages. And I actually get irritated when people say to you the whole time, but you're a small party. All the parties started small. They forget. You know, so I'm very outspoken. I'm very clear. Every single political party that has and is currently on the ballot, we must not forget there was a very specific target given by the IEC to qualify. So those that could not qualify, that couldn't get the 14,000 signatures, for example, they were told to go. So, Chris, we made it to the post. We are there. We play a significant role. And I'll just end off by saying, the continual slapping of the bigger party to the smaller party on this kind of dawn of coalitions, it's dangerous. And what it does to the smaller parties, it makes it very much more difficult for a bigger party to face us when we're going to, without a doubt, sit around the conference table. Because this is not how you work in politics. It's détente. Politics is about getting on together when necessary. And we have gone past that about other parties calling us the popcorn or that. Yet, yo, Moorman, go make your own popcorn. But remember, popcorn is necessary in a movie, otherwise it's absolutely a farce. So get over yourself. We are going into a scenario where at certain towns again in 2026 and today in a province or in a country, you'll need to sit with us. And I'm going to say what they've done for you. Because continually we are talking about smaller parties. But it's a smaller party that's part of a bigger party's probable win of 50 plus one. So, no. I reject it with contempt. We are here. And let me finish by saying, if all the bigger parties were so perfect, so brilliant, why the hell do we have voters? So the only reason why is because they're not happy with a bigger one's menu. They love our new restaurant. They love our buffet. And they're chowing. They're eating from us. They might not be eating as much as from the bigger buffet. But, you know, we believe in quality, not quantity.
Neil, you've made so many predictions on our channel, all of which have come true. May I highlight Gayton McKenzie's Patriotic Alliance and please recap those predictions for us.
Uitgekom. You know, the last time I made a prediction, because you asked me, because what you get from me is the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me. God, that's right. So I can't tell you anything else except my analysis. I think you know me for years now. I'm a very good strategist, and I love factual analysis. And I said so. I told you. He is going to do the outlining rural areas. He's going to surround it. He's going to pot fire it. And we are now focusing, obviously, on this Western Cape war, which has now come alive. I said to you, he's going to draw a line from the West Coast to the Karoo and then to the South Coast. And then he's going to drip like a leak of oil. And boom, there he was. He was at Athlone Stadium, filled it. And this week, he went into the Cape Flats with his attack strategy of Pontahewal, Athlone, etc. So, he's come to Cape Town, and I predicted it. I said, that would be the outlining strategy. He would fold out the rural areas of the Western Cape outline, and then he will sink it into the metro. He knocked on the door the weekend. So, no matter what you say, no matter what I think, I have told you many times before, we don't sit next to the same fire. We don't always chow the same sandwich. But you can't fault the man's strategy. And that's what I'm saying to the other parties. If you do not analyze and if you do not connect with the reality and you keep on watching a poll. You know, everybody's on the polls. Yeah, polls give you statistics, but they don't give you the news and the intelligence from the ground. And I think there a couple of the parties missed it.
Well, Neil, meanwhile, President Cyril Ramaphosa has been very busy signing into law a number of controversial bills. Do you attach any significance to the timing and the nature of these bills, now laws?
Utter rubbish. Utter rubbish. Utter rubbish signed with a crayon. He might as well have taken a nice bit of water-dosed paint and thrown it on a windscreen. To go and stand there and tell the people that he is going to give everybody in this country medical aid and medical care across the board. His henchmen walking around on social media on record and telling the people of this country that after the 1st of June, you can walk into any hospital and get care. And then a day later, then the people that are really the pundits, they come up and they go, no, 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 this will only be rolled over for the past the next 10 years. Who rubbished who here? And this is a travesty of justice of what this ANC has done, not for 10 years, not for 20 years, but for 30 years, continually serving up hogwash. And this is wrong, because we are not talking about promising people that they will get housing, promising that we'll build more schools, promising that we will fix potholes. This is life or death for certain people, Chris. Healthcare is something that has got a life bearing. And to use this as a matter of electioneering, because that's what it is. He used it. He used that so that he can sign it in. And on Sunday, and lach, and then he stands and says, now I've found my pen. Well, listen to me, Sukhi Sarol. We don't need to find a pen. We bloody have many pens. And the minute that we get into government, the same pens that you use to sign in the ballot book, to sign in the NHI bill, we're going to sign it out. Because it is absolutely wrong to go and tell people this kind of smokescreen on the back of getting your party, which is a last-kicking, dying entity, more votes. My ma sou gesê, skaam jy nie jouself nie. Jy kan nie skaamte nie. Sies.
In the same vein, Neil, there have been the usual pre-election job creation promises, but with horrifically high unemployment figures. What will it take to even put a dent in that, to now create such unrealistic expectations?
The king is naked. Yes, sir, this king is boss naked. He's someone else untanned. You stand there, Chris, and you say to this country, you're going to contribute. In the next couple of years, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million jobs. And the next very day, Chris, the stats of unemployment hit the newspaper. 32.9% of people who are eligible to work in this republic don't have work. That's 8 million people. And what makes it even worse is that 42.5% of all youth have no jobs. So again, when do we come to the point where we don't drink this Oros that's been fed down our lips from a group of people that stand there and have got no more credibility? Now, let me tell you, I'll say it repetitively. If you say to a person, Chris, get back to basics, first ask if the person has been into basics. You know, I would like to know a poll. How many of the 400 people that sit in parliament have ever run, managed a business? Now, I'd like to know. Don't you think that would be a very interesting poll if we found out how many of the 400 members of parliament in the past 30 years actually founded, started, funded, operated, and built a business? Now, I'll tell you, I don't know. But my poll will say only 8%. Now, if that's a fact, you are shocked then that these people who dictate how business should be run, that actually control business ethics, morality, guidelines, procedures, and laws, have never run a business. So they can't start jobs, Chris. They can't. I can. And the way that you stimulate an economy is by removing the first draconian laws that this country has to stifle business. Chris, jobs can be created by the following 5 matters. Are you ready for it? Here it goes. Number 1, no more red tape. Red carpet. No more red tape. Red carpet. Roll out the red carpet for all foreign-based investors. Roll it out. And what do I mean? The laws that talk about nationalization. You know, when you say to a person, nationalization, it sends a cold shiver down any person that wants to do a free market capital business. That's a fact. So instead of making laws of BEE, nationalization, land without compensation, you are making laws that are totally anti-free market business. That's a fact. So scrap the laws. Number 2, we have to relook at our system of tenders and employment because it's not working. And that's why I said we better scrap the tender process that has become the biggest tool for looting in this country, undoubtedly. And give an alternative where most probably we presented something like an adjudication board, where municipalities have half governance and half civilian people that are elected onto a adjudication board. Because then you award a contract based not on race, not on color, not on skin, not on prejudice, but on the basis that you could do the job, you have a track record, and you're capable. So we've got to scrap that process. Thirdly, we've got to educate. You know, we have a TVET college system that everybody forgot. We've got to go back and employ our people that can work with their hands, our plumbers, our electricians, our construction people. Fourthly, we've got to look at government expenditure. We've got to cut it. You've got to cut it, and it will start with halving this cabinet. Tighten the belt, and let's see how we can turn this thing around where we as government don't employ, but we create a great opportunity for employment. And the last one, Chris, sorry, stop stealing. Stop stealing. Those are the 5 action plans I'm looking at.
Neil, meanwhile, alleged criminals are suddenly being shot dead left, right, and center all over the country. Is the Minister of Police suddenly doing his job, or is this another pre-election reality show?
Another sad show. Another matter where we are so desperate to get things going, where we are so desperate, where we are looking at health and crime and issues that are so close to us, and we're putting politics first. There's no doubt that criminality in this country is absolutely out of control. I can't predict that this is a matter of political sabotage or intervention, but the people are now being pushed back. And I'm sorry, I've said from the beginning, like you know, and this is a mantra that I will have, zero tolerance of crime. If you want to fight crime, fight it. Don't go stand there and say, I'm going to eradicate crime. Eradicate it. If a criminal picks up a gun and points it at a police officer or a civilian, fire on that person. Fire. Because that's where we need to show that there is a force of law. But just killing people, shooting people, does not address the symptom of crime. And that's why I said, if you've not been at police college, if you've not received training in forensics, if you haven't seen what it does when you have to do crime investigation, crime intelligence, if you don't know pathology, these are all things that you get taught when you go through a police college system. And unfortunately, the leadership, you know who I'm talking about, that's right, Beki, Tafuki, Stulki, Bloody Tele, if that man just gets the understanding that he wasn't a good National Police Commissioner, and the reward for not being a good police commissioner is they made him the minister. So from my point of view, it will start at the top, and we have to chop it down to the bottom. Chris, you don't kill a tree by chopping off a branch. You remove the roots. And that's where we will have to go and change this government and change everything. But I fraud, man. I fraud. I slag. Up till the pointing of the root. We'll have to chop it out. But we can, Chris. We can. We have the people to do it. We have the chutzpah. And we have the will of the South African people.
Now, Neil, I think even the most experienced pollsters would be cautious going into predictions for the outcome of next week's election. It certainly seems very much too close to call. But would you like to make a prediction based on your experience on the ground in recent weeks?
Sure, it's a bun fight. You know, I always say to people, I've not been in politics as a politician long, but I've been in politics all my life. What makes this election totally different? Pre-94, it was a one-party state, they can argue. It was a one-party state. Post-94, for 30 years, one-party state. We can argue as what we want. The time has run out for the ANC. I can tell you that. The mood's there. They can tell us numbers. They can give out as many Kentucky Lucky Fried Chickens and T-shirts. They are absolutely at the last throw. If it's not this year, within the next 5. What's making it interesting is the broken arrow. So the broken arrow experience is that within this arrow of power, it is collapsing and breaking at several levels. And that break and collapse of the arrow, the broken arrow, did not start this year. It started, in my opinion, at the biggest ANC conference of dispute, failure, and antagonism. And that was the conference at Gallagher Estate where Cyril Ramaphosa was fighting in Nkosisana Dlamini Zuma for president. That was, and I was there. I was actually running to then become a member of the NEC of the ANC because I wanted to say, I want to make a change inside, and I failed. And that's why I am where I am now. But that conference was the final crack of the arrow of the ANC. So the most interesting thing is when you look at the people that have left the ANC in years, if you look at Sam Shaloa, Koch, Tera Lokota, yes, Julius Malema, and the latest, Jacob Zuma. If you look at those 4, and obviously what people don't get is Ace Magashule is cracked. This was the Secretary General of the ANC, one of the most powerful people in office, was thrown out. So we had, in the past 10 years, in the ANC arrow, 5 formidable cracks in that system. And they've not recovered. They are not recovering. They are splitting even more. So this massive march of the MK is, in actual fact, a consequence of the 2017 split in that broken arrow, and it has festered to such a point where you saw what happened this past weekend. They were trying to stop them. They threw everything in their place, and there you had a full Orlando Stadium. That's going to be the most important crack within the ANC stable. I'm watching that. And that's the prediction, that because of the growth, yeah, people are saying because of propaganda, there's the failure of MK, they're firing each other, the daughter's running it, all that. Doesn't matter. MK is rolling. And if it doesn't happen in momentum this year, it could happen again. But my worry is that they become family again. And that's going to be a problem. So here's the prediction. I fear that at this current moment in time, we might have an ANC government again, by hook or by crook. Now, Chris, I think one of the things that we must now focus after we've discussed the whole broken arrow, that Jacob Zuma, no doubt, has become and has always been that charismatic force. That no matter where he goes, he draws that kind of support. And that is the thing that's messing up the total prediction of the ANC win or lose. And I can tell you that no one can call today that that's going to be a fact of 51 or less than 51. It is still something so fluid But I think that people that are predicting that it's going to be over 51 in a major way, I think they're very wrong. I think they're going to get a major shock. I think the rest of the parties, the MPC was last time between 33 and 36. I think that was nearly 2 months ago. That has risen, and that might gain momentum. But Chris, if you look at the overwhelming people that went to the polls in Europe and overseas in the past 3 days, no doubt you are seeing major, major amounts of people that coming to the voting that never came. So if you judge what was happening in London, if you judge in the Netherlands, people are phoning me and telling me, showing me their thumbs to say we voted for the UIM in Netherlands, in Italy. You can see that the voting might in this country have a bigger turnout than expected. And that's what we pray for.
Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of United Independent Movement, a party in the multi-party charter, speaking to BizNews about the latest election drama leading to next week's watershed national election. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Chris. And to everybody out there, God bless you and God bless this Republic. And let's go do the right thing.